The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And of course, it is that time of the week when we tell you what to watch on the big screen and small. And we're joined in studio by Chris Wasser, arts journalist and Sunday Independent film critic, and entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo. Good evening to you both. Serena, what do you got for us first?
I've got a really fun buddy comedy that I never expected to love as much as I did. It's topping the Prime Video charts. I'm talking about Ride or Die. This is starring Hannah Waddingham and Octavia Spencer. And basically what happens is that Hannah Waddingham plays Judith, who nobody knows. Her best friend actually is played by Octavia Spencer. She plays Debbie, and Debbie thinks everything's great. They're best friends. She's a forensic accountant. Well, everything comes into the open one day. She's not, in fact, a forensic accountant. She is actually an assassin, a paid assassin, and someone is after her, and all of a sudden Debbie gets pulled into the mix as well, and their friendship is tested. I'm not usually a fan of films like this or series like this. This is hilarious. It's so, so good. Have you seen it, Chris?
I haven't actually, no.
Oh, I'd heard about it. I was like, oh yeah, whatever. And then I started watching it. I'm just like, no, this is great. And the reason why this works is Hannah and Octavia.
I really like Hannah anyway. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited to see what she's going to do in this because, you know, mostly I know her from things like Ted Lasso.
Yeah, so
this
is coming back soon.
Yeah. So a different vibe.
She's going to be competing against herself for audiences because Ted Lasso's back in a couple of weeks.
And really interestingly though, Prime, and maybe that's why Prime actually dropped this all at once. Mm. So you can binge all 8 episodes. The only thing I'd say, the only criticism I have, and it's not that big a criticism, is it probably could have been 6 episodes rather than 8. That said, if this pairing comes back again, I will watch them do anything.
Have you seen it all?
I have.
Will there be a season 2 or is it not that kind of thing?
Of course there'll be a season 2.
And you haven't even seen it. Know very little about it.
Yeah. And look, it's tied up beautifully. It could end here. But if they have another storyline that is as strong as this storyline, I would be all up for a season 2.
Can I ask though?
Yeah.
Assassins, given that it must be one of the tiniest professions in the world, how come there's so many TV dramas or films about assassins?
And they're also super slick, and these assassins seem to be able to like fool everybody in their lives as well. I have no idea. And and you walk away from this going,
I have no friends who've ever turned around and gone, you know what, I'm actually an assassin. Yeah.
And this is like that Patrick Dempsey one as well, where he's an undercover assassin.
Was it Memory of a Killer?
Killing Eve, Unfamiliar, Assassin.
Assassins, but also prostitutes. Every second woman in anything is a prostitute. And most of us know very few prostitutes.
I think there are probably more
prostitutes and assassins.
More sex workers in the world than there are assassins.
Look at you being all right on.
I was not expecting to have this conversation.
Well, do you know what? Regardless of what you think of the professions and stuff, this is
the two oldest professions.
And actually, not linking it to that, but one thing that they do mention in this as well is the fact that, you know, her boss, who's played brilliantly by Bill Nighy, has said she's about to turn 50, so it's time that maybe she retires. So I think there's another like slight dig at Hollywood as well, going, look, there's two women in either their late 40s, early 50s, they're carrying this, like they are leading this production, and they can still be fabulous, and rightly so.
And I also do love Bill Nighy too, and I imagine
he's great.
Yeah, he's great in everything. Chris?
Android, which is a sci-fi sitcom on BBC One on Friday night. It is created by and stars and written by Diane Morgan. So she plays this secondhand old-fashioned robot because we're in a version of the world. It's not too far up the road. It's only 2029, but it's a version of the world where robots have been around for quite a while, and they are mostly used to kind of care for the elderly in retirement homes. But you can also buy one to bring home. And you have a case where this adult son, Michael, played by Paul Reedy, he buys a robot for his mom. A robot with quite a few glitches, played by Dan Morgan, for his mom, played by Sue Johnson, to look after her. She is a widow. She started having accidents falling around the place. So he thinks, look, I can't be here all the time. He's got his crumbling marriage elsewhere to worry about. But this robot named Linda will look after Sue. Sue naturally is skeptical. In fact, she just hates this. She can't stand the fact that she's going to have a robot living with her, and she wants to return it as soon as possible. But she notices that Linda sees everything, listens to everything, because is keen to learn as much about humans as possible, and somewhere along the way starts to kind of learn what it means to grieve, what it means to hurt and love, and naturally this, you know, unlikely friendship forms between the two of them. I think Diane Morgan, she said that starting out she wanted to make this silly sitcom sitcom about robots, but she ended up making this profound comedy about humans. And that's the thing that really sells this for me. And she also, she admits that when she was writing the Sue character, she was writing it for Sue Johnston. More writers should do this. They should, you know, manifest things like, I want this actor to play this part, bring it just to that actor, and they will turn it into something golden. So it's very quirky. It's a little bit unusual, not like anything else that's on television at the moment, which is probably why you should watch it, but it works. And fans of Diane Morgan, and even if you don't like Diane Morgan, will like it.
Fridays
BBC. On BBC One, and repeated on Monday nights on BBC One.
Okay, sounds good. Serena, what else you got for us?
I'm going to stay in the underworld type world. So I'm going to bring you Lucky from Anya Taylor-Joy. So she plays a girl whose dad is in prison and her boyfriend is also involved in the underworld, and so is she. They had to do this heist to get this money back, to get her dad out of prison, and also get the gangsters off her dad's back and off the boyfriend's mum's back. Problem is, you're going to be shocked to hear this, it all goes awry. Oh,
wow. So the one last job doesn't run smoothly.
Can you believe it? And this isn't I won't say what happens, but basically she ends up on her own on the run. But now Lucky is not only on the run from the FBI, because the FBI have figured out where they are. She's not only on the run from the FBI, she's on the run from her boyfriend's mother, who's a ruthless crime boss, Priscilla. And so she needs to stay on top of them.
Okay. Should this have been called Unlucky?
Probably, because like I'm only 3 episodes in, because this is going to drop weekly, every Wednesday. And just when you think, okay, she's gotten away from them, it's this great game of cat and mouse. And just when you think, oh, she's gotten away with them, it's like, you've gotten yourself into another scrape that there is no way anybody can get themselves out of that, but she manages to get herself out of it. I have to say, again, like Ride or Die, the reason why these series are really working is what you said about Android as well. It's these actresses who are bringing such force to these roles. Mm. Anya Taylor-Joy, we would have remembered her in The Queen's Gambit. Do you remember over COVID?
So everyone, good.
Yeah. She's brilliant in this. She's fierce. She's so cold, but you can't help but warm to her as well. And then a blast from the past, who I think we should see more of, Annette Bening.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
She is in this as well, and she is brilliant as that ruthless.
What kind of age is Annette Bening now? Remind me.
I think she's in her 60s, almost 70, would she be?
Yeah. I'm asking myself, what age is Warren Beatty? Because we just then rewind 15 years, something like that. So probably 60s, early 70s, yeah.
And she's just fierce.
She's 68.
There we go.
There you go.
She's fierce and fabulous in this. I absolutely love it. It's really slick. So usually, like with gangster type films as well, it's all dark and grimy. No, this is beautiful and bright and slick, but it's still grisly and it's still got all those undertones of a gangster type show. If you're into that sort of thing, I think give this a watch. It's dropping. Only 3 episodes are available now on Apple TV. There's a total of 4 episodes, and the rest will drop every Wednesday.
Very good. Chris.
Effie O'Blanu, and I hope I pronounce this. Yeah.
It's obviously a Welsh name, is it?
It is a Welsh name. And also, Move Over the Odyssey, you're not the only Greek myth film in town, because this is actually very loosely inspired by the Greek myth of Iphigenia, and then based on Iphigenia in Splot, which was this one-woman show by Gary Owens. And it tells of a young Gen Zer in the small post-industrial town of Blaenau Ffestiniog, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, in North Wales. Her name is Effie. She is played by Lisa Gwenllian, and times are tough for this young woman. She's a Gen Zer on a downward spiral. She just has no career prospects, no part-time jobs. Her nan, who is basically, you know, giving her money to go out every week, is, you know, about to give up on her. It's just, she every week is just this endless toxic cycle of booze, drugs, and then these brain-rotting hangovers. And then one week, she meets this wounded soldier named Lee, played very well by Tom Rees-Harris. And he kind of offers her a glimpse of a future that might be, you know, brighter and better for her. But unfortunately, what he gives her in reality is a scenario that she never could have planned for. I could go into detail. I won't, because, you know, it is a lovely story that I don't want to spoil. I think this film, it very much wants to be a sort of a Ken Loach social drama, and it's very good in that respect, but it's also kind of at times going down a sort of midweek soap opera route. So if you put those two together, they do clash. It's an awkward mix, but I'm willing to look past it because the performances and the storytelling are quite powerful. It's quite moving. It's directed by a guy named Mark Evans, who gave us a film film last year that nobody went to see, and I would love if listeners went back to it, Mr. Burton. It is a sorely underappreciated Richard Burton biopic with Harry Lottie, Toby Jones and Leslie Manville. It's about the early years of Richard Burton's career. Beautiful film. Much like this, it had its flaws, but again, willing to look past it because the central performances, I mean, remember the name Lisa Gwenlin, who plays Effie in this thing. She is remarkable. Like the kind of actress in a very small film who has to carry every single scene but makes it look effortless.
The Odyssey, I think, is 3 hours long or something.
And this is only 90 minutes.
Oh, I like it. I like it already. No, I really like the sound of that. Time for one last quick recommendation each, Serena.
I love this Trying. Have you seen it, Apple TV? Mm. We're talking about season 5 now. Absolutely love this. It's an English drama made by Apple now. At the beginning, it was BBC as well. Rafe Spall and Esther Smith play this character who are trying to have a baby. So what I will say, the first couple of seasons are quite, I have to give a trigger warning because if you're going through infertility issues,
okay,
it is tough. But you know what? I felt seen when I watched this as well because you don't usually see a TV show talk about something so difficult in our lives, and that's what it is. But it's done so warmly, and you can have laughs along the way as well. But now we're up to season 5, so I'm sorry, this is a bit of a spoiler, but they have adopted 2 kids, and season 5 deals with the fact that the kids' mums, biological mum, is now in their lives and the chaos that that brings. But it also looks at the extended family as well, the aging parents, a grieving dad, a sister who's married a mad husband. It is absolutely beautiful. Apple TV, Trying, season 5.
And Chris, last quick hit from you.
I love the fact that the guys at Amazon are still trying to make Masters of the Universe a thing. So it's only been 48 days since this film was released in cinemas. Nobody went to see it. It was a box office bomb. But Amazon MGM paid for its distribution in the US. So what they've decided to do is skip the premium video on demand model where you pay for extra on streaming services and just give it to Prime customers on streaming. You don't have to pay any extra for it because they are hoping to still build a franchise out of this thing. And usually I would laugh at that sort of business, but this is a really good film. It was a film that really did deserve to be seen. I mean, no one showed up for it. I think
is this, like, remind us, He-Man, She-Ra, Skeletor,
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, and Idris Elba playing a drunk army general, Nicholas Galitzine playing He-Man, like this, you know, amiable oddball who forgot to grow up. And also Jared Leto. You don't have to look at Jared Leto in this thing, which helps, but he is voicing Skeletor. And Skeletor as this, you know, slippery, insecure, panto sort of villain really works. This film deserved to find an audience in the cinemas. It didn't. Amazon are giving it one last shot to see if it can find an audience.
And you're plumping for it.
Do it. That is our lot. Thanks to Serena and to Chris. That's our lot for today, Kira.
Yes, it absolutely is. Do stay tuned for Off the Ball. They're up next. Myself and Shane will be back with you tomorrow at 4. Have a great evening.
To our August Togubogay.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.